It happens every time, at least it seems to happen every time, whenever I visit my nieces or nephews and their children. I learn something new, not just about the children, but about life. It happened again this weekend when I visited my nephew's children and spoke with Anna, Stephanie, and James. They taught me something about life, as children so often do. Parents and grandparents are united to continually learning from your children and grandchildren. For example, Annika, who is 9 years old, showed off her amazing gymnastic skills, complete with jumps and somersaults. Stephanie, a beaming 7-year-old girl, informed me that she is learning tennis and soon will be ready to take on her uncle, Kevin. And 5-year-old James, well, he's into everything, showing me how to operate his new audiovisual toy. Kevin impressed this one. Oh, okay. What was also intriguing was how the older children were taking care of the younger ones. You know, there was also a story I was going to tell them that when their father was their age, we were skating, and their father, Kevin, who was 8 years old, was learning to skate, and he could skate very well. His uncle Kevin could not. And there I am, slip sliding away with my nephew Kevin, falling on the ice, and his weak hand comes reaching out and says, "Uncle Kevin, can I help you?" The sense of being taught and learning wisdom from one generation to the next is so much of what our life is about. And the ways in which children teach children. I watched how Annika and Stephanie taught James about how to behave. Besides the parents teaching them, the older siblings teach so much. As the youngest of 6, I learned so much from my brothers and sisters of how to behave, but more importantly, how to learn to make choices. Yes, freedom and choosing is what wisdom is about, how to make wise choices rather than foolish choices. Each one of tonight's readings convey a certain form of freedom, choice, wisdom. Listen again to Ben Sirach. "Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing." Jewish people having this sense of learning to trust in their all-present God. And written between 200 and 175 BC, this particular verse, coming close to the presentation of Christ as the Messiah, was preparing, if you will, the Jewish people to sense a new wisdom coming into the world in the person of Jesus. Bringing Paul right into the Corinthians some 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead, catches the spirit of wisdom when he asserted, "Brothers and sisters, we speak of a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are passing away." It gives us a certain perspective, don't you think, of our times, having a sense there's a greater wisdom, not just in our time, but in eternity, a perspective that God is offering us in faith. And then Matthew, writing some 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, portrays Jesus as the next Moses. In order to those closer to him, Matthew portrays Jesus on a mountain as he's, this is an extension of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was proclaiming. The ways in which he was influencing him, what Matthew, writing to a Jewish audience, is saying to them, Jesus is the new Moses. Listen to him. Listen to his wisdom. How often is the Spirit transmitted in our life? First, in our families, how often did our parents give us that practical wisdom of how to fix things? We went to our mom or dad for help. Or then to our older siblings, and the siblings teaching the younger siblings. Then going to school, how our teachers give us that informational wisdom. Also the formational wisdom of character. I'm involved with several universities, and yes, we're giving the we tried to present our students at these universities the best in technological, in science, in math, in humanities. But there's always the question, how can we help them shape their character, form them into mature men and women, wise men and women, moving into the next generation, men and women who will make wise choices in their lives, in their relationships. That is so much a part, I can say honestly, of Catholic Jesuit education, shaping them. And when a child, someone makes a mistake, that's the time to learn. That's the time in crisis. What are you learning? That's what the readings are suggesting tonight. And Jesus is proclaiming that. I'm not just looking at behavior, Jesus is saying. I'm looking at your experience. So when he talks about when you're that sense of killing, that's not what I'm really about. Underneath is the anger experience. Deal with that. Seek forgiveness for that. Or adultery, the inner sense of the interiority at times of unfree freedom and lust. Or when the sense of false hope, when you're talking about choosing and affirming, get in underneath, not just what you proclaim and another. What are you saying in yes and no? Do you mean it? See how wisdom and spirit is being stirred up to get a sense of the deeper, go deeper in your faith, which is what your readings are suggesting, and deeper into making choices and freedom. And at times, those choices of freedom are against our culture, our counterculture, in a way the values of a culture do not radiate, do not go deep enough or far enough. I invite you, my brothers and sisters, to take a look at the essay written on the front page of tonight's bulletin by a man named Mario, who came here 2 years ago and was supported by our parishioners. He writes, he's from Nicaragua, and he sought asylum, and our parish of faith is supporting him. He said, Friday, October 26th was the day I called the miracle. Holy Trinity had paid my bond, made arrangements to spend a few days in Ann Arbor to finish up with the Detroit court, and then brought me to Washington, D.C. This is after his life was threatened in Nicaragua. I've made great individuals and families since then, from Ann Arbor to Washington. The Holy Trinity migrant team, individuals and families have opened their homes. This is the wisdom and compassion in which we are called, and to which our parish has responded. And oh yes, this weekend marks the third anniversary when our family of faith hosted the Syrian family, the Chaikos, and to help them move into a safer environment for their six children. And they are succeeding in the schools and other ways in Arlington. This is the wisdom of our faith going further, calling us, shaping us, forming us, not just informing us, but forming us as men, women, and children, as people of a wise, intelligent, mature faith, not a faith that says, tell me what to do and I'll do it. A faith that says, I believe, I trust, I make choices, I make mistakes, and I seek reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, at this very moment, friends of mine are in San Quentin prison, giving a retreat, what's called a proscenium, a short course in Christianity to 40 incarcerated men. Some of them have killed people, atrocious their behaviors, and yet these men come in faith seeking forgiveness. And yet, men and women of faith are helping them learn wisdom, learn compassion, understand forgiveness and reconciliation. This is the spirit of our faith to which all of us are called. A faith that inspires. You know, I was checking, I'm sort of an oldies freak with music. And I look at some of the music of 60s and 70s. This week, 50 years ago, for those of you who are old enough, the number one song was Bridge Over Troubled Water. Remember that? And for many of us, it was the transition from the 60s into the 70s. They wrote it in 1969, it was
came out in the fall, but it really made me charge in the winter of 1970. And it was a deep winter for our nation then. We were divided, in some ways worse than we are now. But that words, those words that speak, when you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them. Paul Simon, the writer, may not have met Christ, but it certainly spoke of Christ. Let me be a bridge over troubled waters. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. Is that not the God of compassion? I'll take your part, and when darkness comes and pain is all around, sometimes do you feel that in our nation, in our world, whether it's virus, political division, divisiveness? Here is where God's wisdom can speak to us. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, Christ has been laid down so that we, in the troubled waters of our lives, can learn the wisdom to go forward in faith, to go with the wisdom to show our brothers and sisters in need for compassion. Have the wisdom, yes, to teach our children well, so that they will teach their children well. It is a challenge. It is a gift. It is a faith. It is the spirit of wisdom.